Every business wants good customer reviews. Every customer wants a good experience. So what happens when both sides click? Or in some cases, when they don't? From Yelp and Entrepreneur Media, this is Behind the Review. I'm Emily Washkovic, Yelp Small Business Expert. Behind the Review features conversations with business owners and customers who wrote one of their Yelp reviews. In our discussions, we talk about lessons they've learned that can be used by other businesses to improve their own reviews or their bottom line. This week, I'm talking to longtime friends Cassie Tucker and Erica Spitzley, who co-host the Marketing Happy Hour podcast, where they share their extensive PR and branding experience with their community of marketing professionals, sharing stories and lessons from some of the world's leading brands and companies. They've got some great insights for all small business owners on the best ways to use social media, do influencer marketing, and of course, reviews to increase revenue. Let's listen to our conversation. Thank you both so much for joining me. I'm really excited to have you on the show today. To kick us off, let's give our listeners a little bit of background on each of you. Why don't we start with you, Erica? Tell us a little bit about your journey in marketing, and then we'll toss it over to Cassie.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having us. We are so excited to be here and speaking with you. We recently had you on the Marketing Happy Hour podcast, which was a great conversation that we're so excited to share ourselves. So thankful that you invited us on to your show as well. But I am a PR and brand marketing expert. I specialize in influencer marketing in the CPG and lifestyle space. And I have about an 8-year background in developing brand marketing and PR strategies for all different size companies. And throughout my experience, I've launched several go-to-market campaigns, managed growth marketing efforts, led influencer and ambassador programs and brand partnerships. And I just love relationships and building relationships with the consumer and ultimately inspiring brand love. I think that's so, so important. And Cassie and I share a huge love for the restaurant and small business space. And I'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about the inspiration behind what we're doing together. But I'll pass it over to Cassie for now to let you know what she's up to.
So I help small business owners clarify their message and propel that message across different digital channels, specifically website, email, and social strategy are kind of my three buckets. Podcasting is starting to become a bigger area in my life as well, but that's essentially a fancy way of saying that I'm just a marketing copywriting strategist. That's my biggest day-to-day, but like Erica, really started my career in small local businesses, worked in a lot of restaurants, different restaurant groups across the Tampa Bay area, really fell in love through that and doing a internship in college with Disney for customer service. And just really, how do you communicate to customers what you do? How do you speak to consumers? How do you, like Erica said, build that brand love around your business? And so having that hospitality experience, I think, has really helped me even in my day-to-day today, working with service-based businesses, products, et cetera. I think a lot of that storytelling from the Disney side, but also customer service, can be infused in really any business that I'm working with. So that's been very exciting.
That's awesome. And I love how both of you have such an array of things that you've worked on. And even this show, it came out of you two being friends and loving to talk about this stuff that is so crucial to businesses. Give me a little backstory on Marketing Happy Hour podcast, how you got started, and tell everyone about what the show is about so that they can check that out as well.
You bet. Cassie, yeah. Take
Erica.
It.
Okay. Yeah. So it's so funny. So going back to our love for restaurants, food and beverage. So our thing that we like to do just as friends simply is try new restaurants. We'll keep a scope locally on what is coming out. Tampa Bay is such a big booming area right now, and we always have new businesses opening. Feels like by the week now. And so we'll exchange DMs, we'll get excited about these places, and then we'll go to them. So there was this restaurant that was just opening in Tampa. I think it was back in 2021 or so. And we went, and this session, or this dinner, I should say, or happy hour, turned into a brainstorm session, figuring out how we can take our conversations that we will normally have over dinner or over happy hour and share them with other marketers. Because we are both in marketing, a lot of our conversation was about our work we're doing, some of the new strategies we're finding, et cetera. And we felt like there was a need to have those conversations with more marketers and just share what we're facing in our day-to-day. So back in 2021, Marketing Happy Hour was born. It was originally on Clubhouse. So when Clubhouse was at the height of its excitement and popularity. And so we would have live conversations with different marketers from different brands and really got a lot of amazing insights and just conversations out of that. The biggest challenge is it wasn't recorded. So that's when Clubhouse wasn't recording content. And so we're like, man, we're having these amazing conversations and there's a lot of people who can't make it to these live convos. We need to turn this into a podcast. So about 3 or 4 months later, we shifted into podcast format and have been doing that ever since. So we're now going on, I think, 3-ish years of podcast format, which has been amazing. But we've gotten to chat with mostly our peers. That's our goal, is just those peer-to-peer conversations, understanding what are our peers facing in their day-to-day roles as marketers, how can we tap into that expertise and learn from them. And then time to time, we'll have mentors on as well. So learning from their expertise, how have they built their careers to a successful place. But that's it in a nutshell. And it's really over time transcended into more of this vaster community, tapping into other digital platforms and offerings, which I'll let Erica share a little bit about as well.
So we identified a few different areas where we were constantly being asked questions. So we were always asked, how did you start this? What do you recommend we do if we want to start a podcast and things like that? And so we were like, how do we take that knowledge and really service the people who are asking these questions? And we actually just launched MHH Media. MHH is a nod to Marketing Happy Hour, but it doesn't have to stand for Marketing Happy Hour. But we are actually now servicing creators and brands who want to start their own podcasts with our offerings and our services. And we're very excited. We get to work alongside some of our close friends to launch and grow their podcasts. So we are just seeing where the journey goes, but super excited that we're able to be here today and to share some insight around social media and how to really capitalize on the reviews that you're receiving and things like that. Because as Cassie said, it's something that we've run into over the years and always want to serve people and just give them whatever knowledge we have.
I'm super excited because I think so many of your experiences can be something that small local businesses can learn from. And on this show, a lot of our listeners are that local, independently owned entrepreneur, and a lot of them struggle with social media and really thinking of social media as its own arm of their whole marketing strategy. And I think one of the biggest challenges that they have is they don't even know where to start. They feel like they don't know anything about social media. How do they get going? And they don't want to waste their time when they don't know what they're doing. So I'd love if you guys can start with advice on, if you were helping a small business get started, what are the main things that you would want them to do as they're putting together that social media strategy? What are the elements that they need to consider?
I think the biggest thing is, you said the word strategy, which I think a lot of times those business owners may not have that marketing brain to think through what that strategy means or how to develop it, which is totally fine. And that's why you have resources like this to walk through the steps. So number one, especially as you're building your business from the ground up, is building a strategy for your marketing message, and specifically speaking to social. I think that overall messaging strategy should be communicated across those channels consistently. And so it's an important foundation to then figure out your tactical plan for all these different platforms you're going to be on, how you're going to communicate to people, et cetera. But the biggest thing I see business owners run into is not being able to communicate why them, what is the value that they provide versus a competitor. And so really just simply mapping out, why should someone come dine with me and not the person next door? Why should someone do business with me and not the brand down the street? And so listing out what is the value proposition, why you, what is the benefit that you provide to a consumer? And it can be a number of things. It could be, I provide excellent customer service, or my team all made pizzas in New York for 10 years and they know how to make New York style pizza, even though we're in Florida. Things like that, that make you stand out and again, determine why a consumer should choose you. And then that message, of course, should be transmitted across all of those platforms specifically, but also within a strategy too, there's other elements of it, right? There's who's your customer? What's the deal with them? How old are they? What are they looking for? What kind of experience are they needing out of a business like yours? Another thing too is a competitor analysis. So like we said, talk about some of those brands in your local area, not to take what they're doing and copy it, but just to be aware of what you're up against and how can you create that differentiation. And then speaking tactically, so determining what are the platforms we're going to be speaking on, what are the social media channels we want to hone and to start to grow and build our community and audience on, and how are we going to do that? So thinking about the different styles of content, what resources do you have internally to be able to push that content out? How consistent do you want to be throughout the week? How are you going to use those platforms uniquely? And so I think those are just kind of in a nutshell, a couple of the pieces that you do want to think about. And then with that too, the content really, especially for a local business, should be used to build trust with your consumers. And so within those content buckets, thinking about the style of content you want to create to allow the consumer to get to know your team, to get to know the business owner, your story, and then just overall putting that customer in your story and making them feel like they're a part of that.
That's such great advice. And I think a lot of times when the business owners are working on this stuff or trying to figure it out, they're not asking themselves those small questions like, who is my ideal audience, before they make the content. And that can really help narrow you and focus you. So it's good to do that research, look at competitors, but also ask yourself some of those questions. What's my goal? Who am I trying to get in touch with? I'm wondering if maybe we can spend a little time talking about areas that you've seen where businesses make mistakes. I think that is a great fear for small local businesses. I don't want to do something wrong. And I'm always encouraging them. There's not necessarily right and wrong when it comes to what you post. A lot of it is about you and things of that nature. But there are some failures sometimes when it comes to thinking you're going to leverage social or an online presence and then almost doing yourself a disservice rather than not doing it at all. Can you guys talk through maybe some of those things you've witnessed or seen not go so well, or things people should avoid?
Yeah, I have a couple takes on this. One thing is not considering your audience on online channels, like social media specifically, as a community and not seeing those channels as a space to foster that community right from the beginning. I was just reading a consumer behavior study about Gen Z and millennials, and it mentioned that brands who prioritize generating authentic, community-driven content on social media are truly standing out to those demographics. And even over those brands who are set in their more traditional approaches to social media. So it all boils down to serve your consumer well, pay attention to what they want to see from you from the very start and how they're feeling about your product or service, and they'll reciprocate that love right back to you. Cassie mentioned a little bit earlier about educational content, and we were talking on our show with you about displaying consumer reviews, which are two excellent ways to inspire conversation with your community. But another way would be utilizing UGC or user-generated content to show your products in action being used by your community. A lot of beauty brands are doing this already. It's a really great, really small lift that creates a huge impact. And then another thing I would say too is consumers today are utilizing social media as a search engine. search engine to research their purchases ahead of time or research the places they want to go to eat ahead of time, like Cassie and I do often. So many social platforms misinterpreted that search engine factor as these consumers wanting to impulse buy in a shop on platform situation. But the truth of the matter is, I think we're seeing a brand across multiple touch points, and it might take us a few different touch points to want to learn more. But once we want to learn more, we're headed to your social media profile. I like to think of it as your first date with a consumer. Would you go on a first date and then that the person already knows everything about you and that they are ready for marriage? I don't know. Maybe some people might, but shout out to them. But no, you're going to take your time to really share the things about yourself that will help the other person get to know who you really are and who you're serving. And I think the same goes for social media and your presence on a platform. Every post should really point back to who you are as a brand. Are you a restaurant posting a popular dish? Tell me the name of that dish. Include your website and your location in your profile so I can continue my research. I'm a huge online menu stalker. I am always online researching menus and items and things that I want to try someday, whether it's in my city or beyond. And so I think just having every question answered on your social media is a great thing to have. And it's something that a lot of people don't think about. They just think, okay, people are coming to see these pretty pictures, but they're really coming to learn more about you.
Absolutely. And, you know, something I think business owners forget to do a lot of times is have the basics on their social media. I hate when I go to look at a business owner's Instagram and they don't have their hours on there, because now I'm trying to hope that the hours I found somewhere else are accurate. We need to have that basic information everywhere that you are, and then also the human element on top of it. I thought that was great advice. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
I lost my job in 2008, right before my wedding, actually. Getting let go would turn out to be my first step toward passive income, a fluid and dynamic way of earning income while changing lives at the same time. I found that online businesses are the best way to do that. It completely changed my life. My name is Pat Flynn. I created the Smart Passive Income podcast back in 2010 for anyone who's ever felt even a little bit like I did when I got let go. People who want to create and sustain a passive income stream online so they can spend more time with the ones they love, achieve the lifestyle they desire, and turn their passion into a thriving business. Whether you have a side hustle already in the works, or you don't even know where to begin, or you just want to crush it with what you got, this show has it all. Wherever you're at in your journey as an online entrepreneur, you're not alone in your quest. Hit subscribe so you don't miss a beat. There's a new episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast coming your way every Wednesday and Friday, wherever you'd like to listen to podcasts. Let's get started.
You know, something I hear a lot from business owners is, oh, Emily, am I investing time and energy on social and trying to be in front of people who are never gonna eat at my business or walk through my doors? Are these just people that are likes and follows that are never gonna be dollars spent with my business? I think you two have some really good advice on building local community and leveraging actual foot traffic from that network you're building online. Can you guys speak a little bit to that?
Well, one piece of encouragement I'll tell you first is I know a lot of times, especially on TikTok, I'm seeing this, is a lot of local brands are building these large national followings, especially if they're creating these really interesting and fun experiences on their social. We have a brand in Tampa that's a really good example of this, and that's Santoro's Pizzeria. And they create just ridiculous, hilarious content with their team involved in it. And you can tell they've built a following all across the US. It's huge. But what people do now, every time they come to Tampa, they have this pizza spot saved. And so they're driving that out of state traffic as well, or out of city traffic. So that's one piece of encouragement I'll tell you, is people are always looking out for spots to choose and to dine in when they are traveling to your area. And so I think having some of that non-localized traffic as well can be beneficial for building that reputation over time. But one thing with social is it is definitely challenging at times, especially with a local business, to track how is what I'm doing driving local foot traffic. Can I track how many people are going into my store from this one post? And there's different responses depending on what you're doing specifically with that content, which I'll speak to in a minute. But I think one of the things you have to determine, and this can be in your strategy phase initially that we talked about before, but also for individual pieces of content, is asking yourself, what is the point of this post that I'm putting out? What is the objective behind it? Is it to educate the consumer on my business, educate them about the brand that I've built and what I'm offering to the consumer? Is it to entertain? Do you have that funny brand voice that you're infusing and you're just looking to engage the consumer online? Or is this a promotion or a limited time offer that I really am trying to use to push foot traffic? So I think number one, figuring out what that funnel is for your business and where that piece of content fits into your funnel. And so with the pieces of content that you are creating to drive foot traffic, for example, there's a couple of different ways that you can track and test to see if there is some sort of relation between post and foot traffic, like we said. And that is specific links. You can have coupon codes only available on social media that people have to mention when they come in. If you're working with influencers, have an influencer mentioned, hey, Abigail sent me or Emily sent me. And so there are some ways that you can do that. Obviously, not every time is a consumer going to remember what they have to mention or remember to click a specific link, but there are some different parameters that you can test and put into place to track data. Social media only promos is another good example. So only running a promo for social media customers versus all of your consumers. And so again, think back, what is the goal of the post? What am I doing? And if I am trying to drive traffic with this post, let me put up some parameters in order to track that effort.
I think that's great advice. And really thinking about what you're hoping to achieve with the post is great for putting together any strategy. Sometimes you're just letting people know who you are and what you do. And sometimes you want them to buy a specific thing that you offer. So it's good to be mindful of that as you're curating all of your content. I'm feeling like we should talk a little bit about if small businesses want to try influencer marketing. I think a big misconception is influencer marketing is working with someone that has 100+ thousand followers and blah, blah, blah. Small businesses can work with micro influencers, people that just have a few thousand, but they're really the people you're trying to get in touch with. Do you have any advice for how businesses can leverage influencer marketing?
Absolutely. There are a lot of different ways that you can tap into influencer, and UGC is a big one of those. User-generated content is when a creator or just customer in general is sent a product or wants to create a post on their own to talk about your product and just share their experience using the product. And I think that really speaks volumes to your consumer when they see content like that, because it's a real person. They're just like you. They're using the product and they have their genuine thoughts shared in a video format, and you can take their key takeaways or their key learnings from the product or service and apply that to your research and then put it all together and determine whether or not you want to work with the brand or buy from the brand. And I think that that's a genius way to tap into or dip your toe into influencer marketing. I think there's another avenue out there, and that would just be reaching out to people who are already talking about you. Whether if you're a restaurant and you have some influencers in your local area that are coming in all the time and they love a specific dish, see how you can partner with that influencer. Can you maybe invite them to have their own dish on the menu that their followers are then wanting to come into your restaurant and try? That kind of partnership could be really, really fun and just another way to inspire community in a way that's not necessarily spending thousands and thousands of dollars on those huge influencers that you see everywhere promoting huge brands. So I think partnerships that are individualized, very creative, and very community focused are a really great place to start.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about feedback and reviews. You know, on this show, we always bring it back to the topic of feedback. And when I talk to my business owners during their interview, I always say, let's start broad here. How do you feel about reviews? How do you use reviews? And I think it'll be interesting to hear from both of your perspectives as you've grown this show, as you've helped different businesses. Let's just kick it off with reviews and feedback in general. How do you think about it? How do you maybe encourage small businesses to think about reviews and feedback?
Yeah, I think it's very, very important to not only pay attention to the reviews and feedback you're receiving, but at least listen and consider if something that they are saying could lead to a possible optimization or enhancement in your business. I think a lot of times business owners hold what they've created very close to themselves. And they're like, this is the way it's always going to be. I'm never going to change it. This is my baby. And I get that. I really do understand that. But I think as a business owner as well, you always have to be open to evolving and to updating. Let's just even think about technology in general. The way that businesses were ran 20 years ago is very different technology-wise. And if a business that was established 20 years ago was operating the same way it did 20 years ago, I think consumers would be very frustrated with their inability to order online or to do a number of these things. So I think there's a number of different places that consumers leave feedback on. A lot of times it's customer service, it's food quality, it's technology, and not the ease of being able to order to do something within your business. I think it's important to listen and to pay attention to some of those trends, because sometimes if someone says something once, still listen, and it might be an opportunity for an improvement. But especially if you hear the same message over and over again from consumers, that's probably them telling you something about a huge improvement you can make to your business.
How about any advice for the process or the strategy of managing reviews? I give advice all the time about how businesses should be handling reviews as they come in and being ready to respond to them. But is there anything that you guys would recommend for how to be prepared and how a business can really have the problem solved before it pops up?
I think it comes down to knowing your consumer and understanding the questions and anticipating the questions or the comments or the concerns that they might have. We talked about this a little bit on your episode of Marketing Happy Hour, where you can have a document that's internal where you have FAQs, anything that anyone's ever asked you or anything that anyone's ever said to you, whether positive or negative, and how you responded and why. And you can have all of these communications documents available for you to then pull from and respond in a timely and a respectable manner and in the voice that your brand wants to have on social media and beyond. I think something too that's important to do when it comes to reviews is to ask for more. People are giving you a little tidbit, whether it's negative or positive. Anytime someone reaches out to talk to us about Marketing Happy Hour or say that they loved a certain episode, I am always asking them, hey, I'd love to learn more about what specifically you loved. Are there any topics that you want to hear from us in the future? Is there anything that we can do to serve you better or to help you along your journey? So I think it's about knowing who's reaching out to you, having some great responses that are in your tool belt that you can pull out and give them what they're asking for, and then also engaging further and taking that conversation, whether it be taking it off the review platform or offline, or just engaging back and forth and hearing more of their thoughts. Because I think, like Cassie said, to echo her, there's nothing better than the feedback from people who are actually using your product or coming into your shop. And especially for us as podcasters, people who are actually listening into our show and actually taking away actionable items, it's huge for us to just keep diving in and learning more from them. So I always like to say, ask for more.
One more thing to go back to brick and mortar businesses for a moment. I think a lot of teams that have face-to-face connection with their consumers have the benefit of specifically speaking to negative reviews, stopping negative reviews in its tracks. For example, working in the restaurant space, we had this internal process for, hey, if a consumer is unhappy with their food, if they're unhappy with how long they waited to be seated, whatever it is, try to get a manager on that situation before that person has the chance to leave and blast your business online. And so I think being very strategic with the way that you're training your team and ensuring that everyone is aware of that process, your servers, your hosts, et cetera. And so a lot of times that can support that situation as well before it ends up online.
That's such a good point. And there's so many things businesses can do to intercept that negative feedback, even just asking at the end of the service, how was everything with your experience? So I think that's great advice. I'd love to talk to you both about another theme that comes up all the time, which is just work-life balance. I think a lot of it is really just prioritization. I think all entrepreneurs pretty much feel like they don't ever have time for everything. And so it's about finding the balance that makes them feel good. You both have day jobs and you side hustle this show and you have so many different things going on. What advice do you have for juggling it all, or maybe not feeling like you're juggling it all, but separating it and processing it as you need to?
Yeah, I think you said it. It comes down to prioritizing. I am a huge proponent of prioritizing rest. So that looks like, for me, setting boundaries where I am not working past a certain time at night. I am not working on the weekends. I am prioritizing things that make me feel good, like getting up in the morning and going for a walk. I actually start my day a little bit later at work than some of the other people on my team because I prioritize that for myself. And thankfully, I have the flexibility to do that. But there are different ways that you can implement things in your routine to prioritize that rest. And I think that is the most important thing ever. We hear from a lot of marketers on our show just talking through how they became burnt out. And I actually experienced that myself in my last corporate job before I started doing consulting and doing this podcast full time. And now I'm in a transition period where I'm going back into an agency space. But I actually did get burnt out at my last corporate position because it was day in and day out, just work, work, work. And I think there's a time when you have to step back and say, if you're not able to delegate to people, you have to say, okay, what is the real priority here? What are the tasks that I absolutely have to get done this week? And everything else I have to put away for now, because I know that if I try to get everything done all day, all the time, I am going to wear myself out and eventually not even be able to do the work that I'm supposed to be doing in the first place. So prioritizing rest is huge, and I bake that into my schedule and just set boundaries around that so that I'm able to do that.
I think Erica alluded to this a minute ago too, but just knowing what are your goals and making sure that what you're taking on is aligning with that. I think you can especially fall into that as a business owner as well. If you have a new opportunity you want to take on and you're like, oh, this sounds so much fun. I think taking a step back before you agree to that and just saying, hey, does this align to my values? Does it align to my schedule? Does it align to my future goals? I've definitely been in that position where I've gotten so excited about all these different opportunities. I've taken on too much and it leads to that burnout. I think the other thing too for day to day, especially if you are very much an abider by your calendar like I am, schedule appointments with yourself. Literally put in your calendar, between this time and this time, I'm going to work out. Between this time and this time, I'm going to go for a walk outside. And then my hard cutoff for the day is 6 p.m. or whatever it is. And so making sure you have that stuff baked in, and then not only the day-to-day stuff, but scheduling in vacation and rest, a day off from time to time. Because I think both as corporate professionals and as business owners, we get into this hustle mode and we never take a day off, and it ends up really ruining us in the end there.
And that concludes our episode. I hope you enjoyed it and were able to take a thing or two away to implement in your own life. Whether it's a new idea that you can bring back to your business or a fresh perspective on how to be a positive influence as a consumer, we share these stories to inspire and create more meaningful connections in your local community. This episode featured a conversation with Erica Spitzley and Cassie Tucker, the hosts of Marketing Happy Hour podcast. We'll link to their show in the show notes. And I was a guest on their show recently, so we'll link to that episode as well. Special thanks to Holly Hanchy, who helped edit this episode. To learn more about the story, head to yelp.com/behindthereview. And check out the guest details and episode takeaways. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite listening platform so you get an alert each Thursday that we drop a new episode. To claim your own Yelp business page and start engaging with consumers, visit business.yelp.com. Our theme song is performed by Ali Schwartz and produced by Robbie G of Messerol Sound.